patient. So we performed a cohort study that was recently published in Obstetrics and Gynecology of about 500 women, about half of whom were going through telemedicine provision and half who had a face-to-face visit with a physician. And we found that that both methods, both models of care were very effective. The success was 99% for those who had went through telemedicine and 97% for those who had a face-to-face clinic visit. We also found that the model was very safe. We looked at all of the adverse events during a period of over a year and found a very low and statistically similar, identical proportion of adverse events, 1.3% in both groups, those who had telemedicine and a face-to-face visit. And we also found that acceptability was very high for women who chose the telemedicine visit. There, in fact, one of the measures of acceptability, whether they would recommend the procedure to a friend who was in a similar situation, was significantly higher, actually, for women who went through telemedicine compared to those who had a face-to-face visit. But we really wanted to get more information about what both women and providers think about telemedicine, what they like and dislike, and what the areas were for improvement were. That's what I'm going to be reporting on today, some in-depth interviews that we did with women. It should be actually 25 in-depth interviews with women, 20 of whom went through telemedicine and 5 who had face-to-face visits with a physician, and then also some interviews with the clinic staff who were involved with the service. So, when we were thinking that a lot of this was mostly related to distance, and in fact that was one of the major themes that came up when we asked women about why they chose the clinic where they did, and a lot of it had to do with distance. This woman said, I didn't want to drive to Iowa City and have it done there and have to drive back. I didn't want to have an hour and a half ride home in bad weather. I just figured this would be the easiest way. And so she decided to have a telemedicine procedure closer to home. But timing of the abortion was also a really important motivator. So some women might have even traveled a little bit further to a telemedicine site in order to have the abortion as soon as possible, and also in some cases to make sure that they were still eligible for medication abortions. So this woman said, I wanted to make sure I got here as quick as I could, so because you can't do the pill anymore. And in fact, whether or not, and they were all told when they called to schedule the abortion whether it was going to be via telemedicine or not, and that really wasn't a big factor that influenced their decision. So I don't think it influenced me at all. I just thought it was a neat way to use the new technology, and it was a convenient way to take advantage of it. We interviewed women after their follow-up visit, but we asked them to tell us about how they felt before their visit. And in general, women said that, and these were again the women who chose telemedicine, that they thought it was going to be more convenient, and that they trusted Planned Parenthood would provide them with quality care. This woman said, well, my first thought was, well, it's an easier way. It's easier for the doctor. She doesn't have to be at every place. Maybe it's more convenient for her, and she can just be at one place for one day. She can do a video chat instead of driving so many miles out of the way just for a few seconds. One woman that we interviewed did report feeling a bit nervous about telemedicine, but she said it was more important for her to get to the closest clinic. She said it was a little nerve-wracking after they said there wasn't an actual doctor present, but the teleconference thing was fine. I wanted to get in here because I wanted the closest. When we talked with women specifically about after their whole telemedicine visit, most of the women said, at first it seemed a little weird or different, but that ultimately it worked just as well. It didn't seem any different from a face-to-face visit. Some compared it to using a webcam. In fact, that's also how the anti-choice movement has referred to these telemedicine, talking about webcam abortions. for a small minority of women, the video made it feel less personal, and they said they would have preferred a face-to-face visit. This woman said, the quote below said, I would have preferred it in person. It just makes me feel a little bit better when they're sitting right in front of me, eye-to-eye contact. I don't know, I'm a big eye contact person. I get eye contact over the conference deal, but it's not the same as having them right in front of me. One theme that emerged regarding women's feelings about the service focused on concerns about privacy. Some of these were related to concerns about internet security. you can read this quote, she was concerned about the possibility of someone hacking in and observing the video conference. Another kind of related concern about privacy that was mentioned by some women was because of the video conference, they were just sort of, the camera was focused on the doctor, and they were wondering if there were other people in the room that they couldn't see. I think you have a certain amount of privacy when you talk to a doctor in a room because it's just you two, but over the webcam, she told me, or the nurse told me, that it was just me and her and nobody else. It's not broadcast or anything, so that made me feel like privacy was okay. But you're never really guaranteed that nobody else is in the room. But I trusted them, so I thought it was okay. But overall, I would say the majority of the women in the sample said that they did feel like the video chat was private and secure. So as I mentioned, we also interviewed five women who were going through a face-to-face visit with a clinician. We asked them, we sort of described the telemedicine setup, and most of them thought that, you know, expanding availability of abortion services was a good idea, and if that would happen through telemedicine, that would be a good thing. Some women talked about having some reservations or concerns that wouldn't understand as much or get as much education or information if it was done via telemedicine. One woman said, and I think it's important to remember, so these are all women, when they call the telephone line to schedule their abortion, they're given the option of what's the closest clinic, what's the soonest clinic, and whether it's a telemedicine clinic or not. So these women might have been given information about telemedicine site and decided not to do that. She said, I don't know if I'd like that. It's kind of impersonal, so probably not. I like sitting down with, I guess, I don't know if she was a doctor, but whoever explained what was going to happen to me today, and I'll be able to ask an actual doctor if I have any questions. So I also want to highlight some of the findings from our interviews with providers. This was a quote from one of the two doctors who were involved in the service, and really just thought it was fabulous. They could be in more than one place at a time. She said, oh, the access for women is just amazing. I can sit here at my desk and take care of 25, 30 women across the state, and they can be a couple hundred miles away. I used to drive to the centers, and I could only visit so many centers a day or a week, so this is just amazing. One of the clinic managers talked about how it ended up reducing the number of visits for women at these outlying sites, because it used to be that they would kind of come in for their first visit and get everything essentially done for the medication abortion except getting the pill, and then have to come in a second time to actually see the doctor, so the number of visits was reduced. Services were available to women on more days with more flexibility. This quote talks about how, you know, when a woman walks in and she really needs to have the abortion done, that they can often find the doctor in Des Moines and kind of squeeze in a telemedicine visit. And obviously, those of you who've been to Iowa know about the weather there. There are fewer cancellation delays due to weather, because that happens a lot, that the doctor just can't get out there even after they've scheduled women. Obviously, it's also less travel for women. This quote, again, by one of the center managers, says it's more accessible, especially to clients in rural areas. They don't have the extra day of travel. They don't have to commute. They can go to a local center instead of driving all the way to the state, or vice versa for a doctor having to travel. I mean, I just think it really opens up. It makes it much more accessible. But one thing that we did find in talking to the clinic staff was that they didn't think women were always being appropriately directed to the best site by the call center. These interviews were done kind of about a year and a half after they had launched the telemedicine program. One of the clients talked about just how she kind of got confusing information from the call center. Like, she was initially told she had to travel farther, an hour and a half away, but in fact there was a telemedicine site only 15 minutes away and she hadn't gotten that information. The clinics talked about how they try to sort of check again when they have a client scheduled to make sure that it's the closest clinic, but they recognized that they still needed to do work on improving the referrals by the call center, and that's an area that they've really worked on since the time of this evaluation. This is a quote from one of the clinic managers. She said, my very, very favorite part about this is that we had a patient present to the office one day, and she had made the decision that she wanted an abortion. We were just able to do it that day. And had we not had the telemedicine process available, I mean, she really needed it, and she needed it that day. And I just thought it was just amazing that we could do that for that day, and she could move on in her life. So that was kind of one of those, wow, this is great type of moments. I should have said, that certainly telemedicine isn't for everyone. One of the findings that we had in the cohort study was that about 25% of women said that they would have preferred to have a face-to-face visit with a physician. It wasn't sort of like they really regretted their decision to have telemedicine, but if it had been available, they would have preferred to be with a physician. And in regression analysis, it was younger women, women with less education, and nulliparous women, women who hadn't had a pregnancy before, were those who were significantly more likely to say that they would have preferred to have a face-to-face visit. Great, that's all. Thank you very much. Any questions?
That was great, thank you. Two questions. If one granted rolling this out in other places, and what are the constraints or facilitating factors around that? And second, was there an age preference for those who prefer kind of performance?
Is anyone from Planned Parenthood here who would like to answer? I'm not with Planned Parenthood. It's difficult to kind of have a national strategy about this because it really depends on state laws. So I didn't kind of go into all, Planned Parenthood of the Heartland had to do before setting this up to make sure this complied with whatever laws they did. So they did a very in-depth legal analysis before deciding to embark on this. And then actually, after they did launch it, there was an inquiry by the Board of Health that was sort of pushed by Operation Rescue, and actually the Board of Health did investigate and determined that they were complying with all the rules and laws. Already we're seeing, I think there are six or so states, I thought there was a six, anyway, five or six states where telemedicine has been banned by legislation already. There are other states we've been in discussions with provider networks where they've done some legal analysis, and it would be a very challenging environment. I mean, you need to feel like there is some political support in case this is challenged. So my understanding is at this point Planned Parenthood is not rolling this out. I know that there may be some other affiliates that are exploring the possibility of this, but it's definitely is challenging. And I'm sorry. Just that, as I said, there was no difference in the age of the two cohorts in our cohort study, but we did find that among the telemedicine women, those, as I mentioned, that younger women, 18 to 25, were more likely to say that they would have preferred to have a face-to-face visit with a physician. And again, it wasn't like they regretted their decision to have telemedicine, but it just if it had would have been available, they would have preferred to talk to a physician face to face.
So part of the telemedicine package is also increased training of the person that's actually involved in communicating with the patient. Is that you have to bring them on board and have them understand what information needs to be conveyed to the doctor that's participating in the telemedicine conference call? Is that part of approach?
Yes, so part of it, certainly there's a lot of training because many of these sites were not providing abortion care before. So a few of the sites, the physician used to travel out there, but after they launched this, then they began offering abortion care in about 10 other sites where there was not previously abortion care. So they did have to train the staff in ultrasound and abortion counseling. And obviously how to take an appropriate history and relevant physical to convey that information to the physician. And it was interesting, it was another thing that I didn't highlight in the presentation, but that was something that came out from some of the staff about sort of for their own professional development, that they really, they hadn't thought that they were particularly interested in being involved with abortion care, but they really were happy to learn these new skills and kind of expand their scope of practice.
And then
Yeah, except most of the clinical information is actually uploaded. I mean, the ultrasound image is uploaded and sort of a form with the clinical information. So that's uploaded, and the doctor actually sees that on another screen where they've set it up in Iowa. So yes, the staff person is also in the room, but usually she isn't actually participating in the video conference when the client is there. Talk to Tracy.
And is that staff person a licensed or an unlicensed person?
It varies, but it's not generally an advanced practice clinician. It may be an LVN, but often it's a medical assistant who's been trained and kind of certified in ultrasound.
It's not a question, just a comment. In a country like the US, where most are more empowered and very competent, and we have evidence of diagnosis are very good providers for medical abortions from Latin America and Asian countries. I think it's high time for the US group in the world. Not successful others.
I strongly agree with you. Unfortunately, I mean, Tracy Kirby, there may be about 15 states where advanced practice clinicians, nurses with additional training, can provide medication abortion, but in the rest of the states, they're prohibited from doing so. But hopefully, that will change.
But if telemedicine was not available, you know, you have to wait for the doctors, and maybe
they'll be over the
dynamics.
No, you're really, it's correct that it's a barrier to care. And,
that was a really great presentation. Thanks for that. My question specifically was there any information in terms of concerns on quality of care about it being comprehensive, specifically focused on post-abortion contraception, either from the providers or from the clients?
Yeah. No, and I should. I'm happy to share with you the publication that we have with more details about that. I mean, documenting that in terms of the quality of care, the risk of having complication was the same and was very low. And in terms of post-abortion family planning, we did see a bit of a difference, mainly in terms of IUD use, so that women were more likely to get a post-abortion IUD at the time of their follow-up visit if they went to a visit where there was a physician staffed there as opposed to one of the telemedicine sites. And that's just because so far the staff at these outlying telemedicine sites are not yet trained to do IUD insertions, post-medication abortion, but they're working on training them. But otherwise the uptake for contraception was very high in both groups. Yeah, the story of the video is kind of funny. I mean, sorry, it was great to see yours, Ross's too, much more highly developed. And we worked with a pro-choice flash designer to develop that. We really put it together for these presentations that we've been doing, disseminating the results of the evaluation and sharing information for more of an academic and provider audience. So far, not really with legislators, but that's a very good idea. In terms of reduction of gestational age, we are doing some analysis, which is just about completed, looking at service delivery statistics for the whole clinic network. And I should say, Planned Parenthood of the Heartland provides somewhere between 75 to 80% of all abortions in the state of Iowa. And so we were comparing the statistics for the 2 years prior to the introduction of telemedicine to the 2 years after, and of course, it's hard to, can't control for everything. There might be other things going on, but it does look like there was a significant reduction in the proportion of abortions that were done 13 weeks or later, so in the second trimester, as well as an increase in the number of medication abortions and proportion that are medication abortion. There's a small reduction in the distance women travel, which is significant, but it's not a big difference. It's on the order of about 3 miles, that's why these qualitative findings are actually helpful to see that it's not just close to home that motivates women to choose telemedicine. Sometimes it's so that they can get an appointment sooner. But the other interesting thing, we're doing some geo-mapping of the, showing where women are being served. And it's been interesting, in the 2 years after telemedicine was introduced, you can definitely see that more women in outlying areas of the state, who live in outlying areas of the state, are accessing medication abortion. Anything else? We have maybe a few minutes left. Are there any other questions for our other panelists?
Oh, for you.
Okay.
Just to clarify, you mentioned it, sorry. Iowa doesn't have any mandatory waiting period?
No.
And,
but that's interesting. I mean, in some states where there is a mandatory waiting period, people are also looking at the possibility of using telemedicine to comply with the waiting period laws. Unfortunately, I mean, legislatures are also catching on to this. So, for example, the restrictive law that was just recently put into practice in Texas specifically says that, I mean, a woman has to have an ultrasound done and a physician has to talk to her face-to-face 24 hours before the abortion is done. So. Any other questions for any of the other panelists? Great, well, thank you very much.